First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective, Introduction. If anything has the potential of provoking a multitude of diverse responses from people in general, it is the subject of money. This is even more the case within the Church of God. Many are immediately discomforted by any financial allusions and become indignant at the very mention of money in the church. By and large, such responses are born out of the appalling representation of some spiritual leaders who have abused and manipulated God's people financially to fuel their personal monetary greed. For others, their reticence regarding financial giving in the church results from fear, conviction, and for some, sheer ignorance regarding the scriptural position on finance. Few are aware of the vast coverage the Bible gives to this topic. Sadly, much of the dis-ease, aggrievement, and discomfort has been given credence and can be attributed to the almost apologetic manner in which some ministers address it, or by the selfish and ungodly motivation with which some ministers teach it. Either way, we cannot ignore the sharp focus the scriptures give to this subject and its bearing on our relationship with God. I am of the firm view that our attitude to and our handling of money reflects our devotion to God and our levels of spiritual maturity, and is also indicative of how we perceive the kingdom of God, which incorporates the church. To live at a level of biblical financial accuracy demands that we bring our stewardship of finance and other material assets into alignment with the truth of God's word. There is no way that any son of God can maintain neutrality on the subject of finances. We either honor God with our substance or we dishonor him. And whether we are truly serving him or mammon is evidenced in our financial behavior. In this writing, the first of a series of volumes still to be completed, I have endeavored to systematize a series of teachings that are designed to empower believers in their understanding of kingdom finance and the economy of God. Spiritual truth must be engaged with the mind of the regenerated spirit, and not with the unrenewed dimension of the soul. Spiritual realities must be spiritually discerned by a spiritual man and cannot be comprehended by both the natural or the carnal man. 1 Corinthians 2:14, 3 from verse 1 to 3. Modernism and modernistic thought often conflicts with God's ideals. The principles set forth in this writing must be spiritually discerned with the mind of one's illuminated spirit. The divine dynamic vested in certain financial practices must be spiritually perceived, understood, and obeyed. I entreat you to take the time to prayerfully study and ruminate over the principles presented in this writing, and to embark upon an obedient course of action. John 8:34 declares, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth does not set you free. It is the truth that you know that sets you free. It is knowledge of the truth that is liberating. Whilst God's word is light, It is the entrance or the unfolding of this word that grants us light and understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130. I desire that everyone who meaningfully engages in this writing will come to a place of accelerated knowledge and reflexive obedience, which will translate into a lifestyle that is characterized by financial sustainability and blessing. The reformation of the church is incomplete without a financial reformation also. The church will not be completely free until it comes to a place of financial freedom, which I view as the confident ability to make decisions not based on our lack or abundance of money, but by the principles of God's word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In this writing, we explore first fruits, the first of threefold giving, termed more excellent giving. More excellent giving is comprised of first fruits, tithes, and offerings. One cannot fully explore the matter of giving in the kingdom of God without the necessity of understanding one's privileged position and status as a son of God, and the faithful and caring nature of God as your Father. Resultantly, issues of grace, trust, and honor are key considerations when exploring the subject of finances. This is the fundamental bedrock upon which a lifestyle of financial giving in God's kingdom is founded. Hence, I have devoted some coverage to these concepts in an elementary manner, as they are more comprehensively treated as separate topics in other writings. This writing sets forth clear biblical principles that should govern first fruits giving in the kingdom of God. First fruits giving is relatively new to most sectors of the body of Christ. Guidelines as to its administration are suggested. First fruits giving is part of our gentle disposition of giving financially unto the Lord as our tangible expression of trust in and honor of Him. Biblically, it was the first example of giving by a human being to God, and thus occupies an important first place in our understanding of giving generally. First fruits established a proper foundation for the practice of the tithe and other forms of offerings. This writing does not deal with tithes and offerings per se, but covers general principles regulating financial giving, some of which could be applied to tithes and offerings. Tithing and offerings will be addressed in forthcoming editions in this series on kingdom economics. The kingdom of God financially is driven by principles of giving and receiving. One of the core aspects of the nature of God is that He is a giver, and this essential attribute within His nature must be fully embraced and expressed within each son of God. Consistent financial obedience from a sincere and pure heart to economic principles embedded in God's word will lead to a life of financial preservation, buoyancy, and ascendancy in any economic climate. I pray that your life will be enriched as you study, practice, and teach, Ezra 7:10, others these principles. The great reformer, Nehemiah, after overseeing the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, embarked upon a reformation of the spiritual, civic, and cultural aspects relating to the personal lives and corporate community dynamics of the people in the city. An essential component of this reformation included a restoration of the practice of first fruits, tithes, and offerings. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35 to 39, chapter 13, verse 1 to 14. Of all the various aspects of Nehemiah's reformative work, he requested God to remember him specifically for his restorative efforts of threefold financial giving. Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds which I have performed for the house of my God and its services. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. I pray this writing will assist to cast a solid foundation upon which you can bring exactness to your financial giving. Key principles are repeated more than once wherever they are applicable. The repetitious nature in parts of this writing is deliberate in a bid to demonstrate the interrelatedness of connected concepts, as well as for consolidating understanding. Many of the principles set forth in this writing are built upon the foundation of apostolic teachings, which my spiritual father in Christ, Thamo Naidu, has labored in, not just on the subject of economics, but a range of other subjects, such as grace, righteousness, fathering, the kingdom of God, etc. All these subjects have a direct bearing on our understanding of kingdom economics. I would therefore greatly encourage the reader to access and study kingdom economics and the related subject matter via the specific links to the relevant websites in the end notes. Abundant grace be yours in the fullest measure. Randolph Barnwell, Gate Ministries, Durban Central, Durban, South Africa, December 2020.